automatic.
What a great machine.
Well, listen, what I wanted to get y'all here for and what I wanted to talk about was, well, I was mentioning you earlier, buddy. What y'all were thinking about in setting up the course here. Now, you are coming from some long-standing backgrounds in bluegrass. You've been playing for how many years?
20 years, right, buddy?
20 years.
Yeah.
This, in fact, this year marks, don't look at me like, you're not that old. This year marks my 20th year in some sort of an organized bluegrass music unit.
Uh-huh.
Started with my family when I was, like, 14.
So you had a family band?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mom, dad, in fact, they still actively play. Uh-huh. We play at the Folk Festival at Glenville every year. We play at Jackson's Mill. Playing tonight down in Gassaway, West Virginia.
Is that right?
And those of you near Gassaway, West Virginia. Sure do. Sure do.
And are they still playing as a family group? Or they got other people in the group now? Or
Yeah, there are other people from time to time. Which Jeff works with us somewhere around. But it's usually maybe just four of us. Mom, Dad, me, and Jeff, or somebody else, you know, adding an extra instrument, singing an extra part, making extra money.
Really?
So you play with them, and then what got you away from the family band?
Well, to tell you the truth about it,
family feud.
No. it was a couple things. One, my dad's health was not failing him so much, but he was getting to the point where this has been 10 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. At the point where he couldn't travel as much and do anything because of his health. Of course, I'd gone to college and was teaching and playing. That's all right. Went away to college and was teaching. Then, by and large, you know, different opportunities come around.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up off somewhere, you know, and the family unit separated at that time.
Yeah.
Of course. So actually, the first actual professional job that I ever did, as far as being professional about it, you know, and being part of something that had some status, was the Jamboree at Wheeling.
Hmm.
I worked as a staff musician there.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about 10 or 12 years ago now. And from that, worked in different bands all the way from country to bluegrass, and always playing bluegrass. And so that's really basically, you know, what my
You work with Melvin Verde for a while, didn't you, Melvin?
Yeah,
right?
About a total 4 or 5 years. And then still go back and do a thing or two now and then when he needs.
What are some of the other bands that you work with?
Well, Katie and Lauer Band, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. It's too early after breakfast. I guess most of the things I've done, rather than work with bands, I've done a lot of record albums with different bands. Earl Taylor, Mac Wiseman, we did some things with Shot Jackson from Hee Haw, Josh Grace from the old Flat and Scruggs band, Red Allen, did I say Earl Taylor?
Yeah, first
yeah,
one.
Actually my first choice. And a lot of custom work. I played a couple country bands here and there. And Johnny Russell a couple years ago. But some people from here in Elkins also played with him too.
Mm-hmm.
So a long time association just turned into a job. Things sort of came together for that. But we played acoustic along with country music. So I was playing bluegrass all the time. They just didn't know it.
Sounds good. All right. So when did you all meet up then? Have you all been playing together for a good many years?
9 years.
Uh-huh.
1975, when the Katie Lauer Band was formed. Buddy and Katie, and I don't know, maybe another one or two people actually were putting together before I knew Buddy. And there, I was playing with Earl Taylor, had been for about a year before then.
Just returned from a successful tour in Florida.
No, from an unsuccessful tour in Florida. and was probably ready to leave Earl anyway. But I think we got together, maybe sang one day, and saw that something might work out. So that was in...
Didn't like each other.
July of 75. And I was actually playing the guitar some.
Yeah.
There was another banjo player. Katie. And then he quit a month or two later, and then I took over the banjo. Mm-hmm. And then since then, we've kind of, you know, separated and come back together with the music.
Mm-hmm. What kind of background did you have up to that time?
In the music?
Yeah.
I started playing the banjo just for fun when I was in high school, 15 or 16, and hadn't really done anything professionally, except maybe just get with some friends and work some little coffee house job or some little gig like that a few times. I hadn't really done anything until I got out of school and in college in 1974.
Your first band was called the Flying Capo Brothers, wasn't it?
There's a funny story behind that, but I had a few small groups from made up of boys from college, and I had worked with some guys in Lexington, Kentucky, driving back and forth from Cincinnati, not making any money, but just having a lot of fun, trying to learn.
Mm-hmm. So you were mainly based around that area?
Pardon?
You were mainly based around that area?
Cincinnati. Yeah. And we've spent some time in Lexington, going back and forth between those two towns. But mainly Cincinnati is home mm-hmm. for me.
What about as far as Pam and Mark are concerned? Can you fill in for them?
Yeah, Mark's from Massachusetts originally. When we met him, he was playing with a group called Tasting Legs. And we met him in Lexington about 78, 79 is when we were there.
78 or not, 79, maybe earlier than 79.
Yeah, 79. And
that Spectrum was beginning to form.
Yeah, and then he Tasting Licks busted up. Spectrum was the group that he was, who actually became pretty well known as a bluegrass artist or musician. Mm-hmm. And then when Spectrum decided to split up, Mark went into the freelance business. He's so good, he can do that. He can play anything and freelance anywhere. But he's done lots of things, tour with Buck Wyatt and Jerry Douglas. And now is presently in a band that works with Sonny James occasionally, playing bass, except they're not working for the summer and he's not sure how much they work for the fall. And things are bad all over, even for old Sonny. But Pam actually was a banjo student that Jeff had. I met Pam through Jeff, and she was a banjo student. And she started singing. We got her a job singing we didn't get her the job. We suggested that she take it when it was open. Singing with a group from Dayton, Ohio called Muddy River. And that was really kind of Pam's start. And we'd all sort of use Pam, not in the bad sense. We'd use her occasionally to fill in for Katie. When Katie couldn't do it. Katie was getting into jazz a lot at that time. And then when the Katie and Lyra band finally dissolved, and you know, Jeff and I have been used to singing with a real, real good female voice, so we just started singing a lot with Pam. And although we've never actually had a real band together, you know, we've always enjoyed singing together.
So what'd you think when we got in touch and said, hey, how'd you like to put together a bluegrass class?
I was tickled to death.
Had you
One,
ever done
I needed
anything
money.
Like it.
Two, no, when they had the very first bluegrass festival in Fincastle, Virginia in 1965, I remember them saying at that time they would like to see, you know, they sort of envisioned at this time, that talking art form here, like to see a college where simply bluegrass music was taught, or whether it was, you know, a branch of a college or something where it was taught. And there's maybe one place in Texas that attempts that. I'm not sure. Where is that? Do you all know?
I don't know where that is.
But I've heard of that.
You can't get a degree in bluegrass. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as widespread, you know, this really was the first thing I'd ever been involved in. And I think it's wonderful. not because I'm working for you, but I thought it was a great idea. Had I not thought it was a great idea, I wouldn't have done it. You know, just to be frank with you.
How do you feel about it? Yeah.
Same way, especially after hearing back from the students as we went on into the week. You know, it was what everybody was hoping for, I think, for us and for the instructors and students both. And it was a lot more than I had expected. I mean, I had fun, but I got something out of it myself. I think I learned quite a bit from it myself. I give lessons at home on an individual basis, and I think it's helped me for that.
What would you say you got the most out of it?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you say you got a lot out of the class.
Well, I teach banjo, and I just think I've gotten some new ideas in teaching banjos. I think I know what banjo players hope to play, and the same thing with the singing. Of course, I guess everybody got something out of the singing.
We did. Yeah. That was one of my favorite.
Singing was
a
big one.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounded like the singing was a big success. And I just think whenever you find out new ways to teach people, there's learning experience for yourself and some discipline to it and all, self-discipline.
Let me get on to you all here. First of all, let me get your names again.
I'm Phyllis Alden.
And you're from?
Well, I live in New York.
Okay, and you're?
I'm Candy Green, live near Columbus, Ohio.
And how did you all hear about the class?
It was in an article in Fretz magazine. It was a list of all the camps and what kind of courses that they get.
Yeah, I think there was an ad in the Banjo newsletter also, I believe. Mm-hmm.
And did it sound like the thing for you then?
Yeah, I mean, I had been to other kinds of music camps that were related, like old-time square dance and folk dance and stuff, but this is what I really wanted.
Mm-hmm. You've been playing music for how long then?
Well, see, I came here to do backup guitar, and I've only been doing that about 6 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Have you played other instruments yet?
Yeah, and I've sung a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mainly in an old-time vein? Or?
No, I'm from classical.
Oh, really? So this is kind of a branching out for you.
This is a crossover.
Yeah.
Crossover.
Uh-huh. Had you ever gotten together with other musicians on
the
record?
No, that
basis,
was the big thing that I wanted from this camp. I said, I take lessons in New York, but I have to go home and practice by myself. I had never played with anyone else, mm-hmm. and that was really the most important thing. Mm-hmm.
So you were mainly here, you were learning from who then?
Well, Pam taught us mostly. Mark taught one day, mm-hmm. and backup guitar. Mm-hmm.
What do you think you got the most out of?
Well, the whole thing was terrific, you know. I mean, every minute of it was terrific. I mean, it was just what I wanted.
Probably the comedy.
Yeah. It's good. Well, it was good. It wasn't too serious. You know?
Just kidding.
The whole mood of it was really fine. And, you know, it glossed over any difficulties with the scheduling and all that stuff.
Excuse me for bothering you. Could I ask you just one question?
Yeah, hold on just a sec.
Jeff, where were you? Where were you on Wednesday?
Anyway, yeah, where were you?
I'm not going to get in again.
All right. Thanks, we need that. So how about yourself then? Had you been playing very much before?
I have been playing banjo about 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. And you know, the first couple of years, you always kind of do it by yourself. You go home and you play. That's what I started out doing. I want to play a couple songs for myself on the banjo. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, of course, your goals change a little bit, and you need to, you know, start doing something different. And I've been playing pretty informally with a group for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're struggling with vocals, and we're struggling with putting things together. And it all sounds pretty trashy. So that's what I was looking for. Was a way to clean things up and a way to put songs together a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody I think came in wanting to learn some new licks and some new songs that they didn't know and play with new people, and you know, you can get a lot of camaraderie out of that that whole playing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And learning what they learn, what they know.
Let me ask a question, both of you then. What did you all think about before you came here? What were you expecting to get out of the class, and how did that measure up to the class when you actually were involved in it?
I was expecting big things. I've been in kind of a stale time here for the last couple months, and I thought this is gonna generate me again, regenerate me again, and it certainly has. I wasn't expecting as much out of it as I got out of it. You know, I had high hopes, but I didn't know what to expect. It was much better than anything I had anticipated.
And you were playing what now?
I was playing banjo. And
mainly banjo then?
Right.
And so far as the work that you did was concerned, that did you find that you expanded in the directions that you were interested in expanding?
Definitely. I expanded repertoire, you know. I found out that I could learn a whole song in one day and play it up to speed in the same day. I'd never done that before.
With the new Robert's Crash Course.
The Crash Course.
Speed banjo. Play fast in one day. For some of your money back.
The unused portion.
Of your money back, right.
And so, you know, I found new potential in myself. And, you know, of course, playing with new people always brings out, you know, a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff was an excellent teacher, I thought. Very patient, especially with the some of us who were slower than others.
Uh-huh. How about you? Your feelings on that?
I certainly got a lot out of it. I just had one teacher, and I wanted to see from other teachers what the consensus was of, you know, but there was real differences in, of opinion on how to approach the back of guitar, and I have a lot of stuff to put together in my mind, and kind of an overview of the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more into the whole world of bluegrass than I had, and I feel it was a great altogether. I progressed on many levels.
What did you all do in different sessions? How were they set?
Yeah, we attacked a lot of different things. Right off the bat, we jammed a whole day.
All day.
A whole day. 6 or 8 hours of just playing with people, and that was, you know, we had to get it out of our systems, I'm sure. And then Buddy gave us a little history, so we had a whole, you know, a whole session on that. We had a whole session on vocals, you know, singing lead, and then putting the harmony parts in, which was, I think everybody got something out of that. We worked on taking a song that nobody knew and putting the whole thing together, from learning the words to learning the chord progressions to putting in the harmonies to everything, you know, and how to work it up, how to do the arrangements and everything else. What else did we do?
Covered fighting in a bluegrass band.
That's right. We worked informally on comedy all week.
Yeah, we heard from Melvin Goins and then Johnson.
All right, right.
Input in the whole professional scene.
Mm-hmm. How did that help you?
Well, it made me feel a better understanding of the whole professional, what it entails to be a professional bluegrass musician, and also it was very entertaining with the history of various people's careers and stuff. It was not only entertaining, but also very informative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things that you all do with your individual instructors that you were working on? You were working with Jeff and you were working with Pam. How was the day set up so far as...
Well, it was fairly informal, but...
instruction.
A song that we decided we all wanted to learn from the ground up, we would work on that, and then we would branch out and play it with other people and teach it to other people and come back to it later in the day. And we went from lessons with one instructor to jamming with other people to swapping songs in another place to all playing together to, you know, it was back and forth.
Yeah, there was definitely something for everybody. You know, if somebody didn't get anything out of this workshop, it was their fault.
You have to go. Sure. I appreciate you coming on by.
It was a terrific program, and I'd like to, if you all have it again, I'd sure like to come back.
Well, all right, we'll keep that in mind. Take it as a recommendation. Appreciate you being able to join us here. And appreciate you coming on by and adding your comments.
Appreciate being able to say my say.
All right, have a safe trip
home. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
You get that on tape.
Nice guy, huh? Never quits. You take care now.
So long, Phyllis.
Bye.
You going to head out yourself?
Probably ought to.
And Candy.
I think I said about all.
Thanks for.
Most of my things. I'll write it down and send it on again. Appreciate it, gents.
You too. Keep
Bye.
In touch.
Bye-bye. Yep.
All right. Right.
Thumb index middle, Candy.
got it.
When in doubt, go to G and wait.
That's right. Go to G and wait on
it. I would say.
So long.
See you later, now. So you all, did you all do the setting up so far as Melvin Goins and John Mountain boys being here was concerned, or were they recommendations?
I recommended that they get Melvin specifically because he was of the old school and had paid his dues right along with all the rest of the Class A bluegrass people from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And another, I was acquainted with Melvin. I knew him and I knew that it would be easier for me to question him and get the things out of him that they needed to hear if I knew him. And so, and truthfully,
Melvin loves to talk.
He loves to talk. And truthfully, I sat there. I had written things out pretty much the way I wanted to have him go with it in an interview. And I just sat there. I didn't have to ask him any questions. He just went from one thing to the other. He had no idea what I was going to ask him. But I told him, expect some surprises. And I swear, the first half hour until we took our first break in the interview, he covered everything I had written down. Everything. I just sat and more. I sat there and just marked things off my list as he went. And he may have stepped on some people's toes, and I think that's good. I think you have to. I think you have to surprise somebody. You have to shock them a little bit in any history course. I remember finding out in history that George Washington may not have cut down that cherry tree. I didn't believe that.
Ruin your whole day.
I believed it was the truth, but I couldn't make myself believe that. And I think the same thing was true with Melvin in particular, talking about bluegrass. There's things about Melvin that and about old bluegrassers that people don't like, but part of the show goes with the territory. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way they are. And I believe that strongly.
How about the Johnson Mountain boys?
Tremendous.
What can you say? They came into the class and demonstrated instruments, techniques, discussed their actual business as far as how they were set up to make money, even answered questions about IRAs for bluegrass bands. You know, these are the kind of questions that people ask.
Sure.
And you know, they were just couldn't have asked for a better band. I'm sure there are other bands who would have done it and could have done it, but
extremely nice, friendly to everybody. I mean, they took time. They were tired. They came in tired. They took time to talk to anybody who wanted to talk to them, and they were all that way. And of course, their show was just the most entertaining thing I'd seen in a long time.
They are nothing if they're not polished. It was really
simple. Oh boy.
Studio quality right on stage.
Excellent.
Yeah. And a good stage show besides. But I thought they did an excellent job.
That one, they even popped that string there. And then joined right back in there right when he was supposed
just
to go on the
right
vocals. Just, man.
Well, you know, I understand David had been here for a while. Uh-huh. Yeah, either in school or...
he was here for 2 years.
As a student.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know from the first time I saw him until now. Of course, I'd seen him two or three times a year, I guess, at different festivals. But, you know, when you start talking to him, this is the first time I'd ever had a chance to actually find out some things I'd wanted to know. And David and Dudley, I've got a lot on you now. And Eddie, you might as well put the fiddle back.
The man with the rubber legs.
But that whole thing was more of a learning process for me, and I think the students sort of caught on that too. You know, they saw that we were learning a lot from them ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And I think the students are the one who got the most out of them. We told them all week what, you know, how classic bluegrass artists were, and what to expect, basically as a show of tightness, and they were right on the money. They did it just exactly the way I think everybody wanted to do it.
I agree. They couldn't have gotten a better band. I mean, for not just for the show, but the way they came on to people, the way they treated people here, and everything. That these people we worked with in the class, they were real nice folks. They'd have been disappointed to have dealt with a band coming in that, and I've seen people do this in bluegrass and everywhere else, that really didn't have time to spend any time with answering questions for anybody. They were professionals. They wanted to do their show and get out of here, you know. But these guys, they just ordinary people, huh?
It's like us, I like to think.
What about your class participants? They were saying here earlier about the people coming from different backgrounds and different levels. Did you find a lot of variety in terms of what people knew?
Not only variety, we found a lot of skepticism at first.
Really?
And I think one of the things was, how can you teach somebody bluegrass? But, and I would have thought that myself at one time. But I think what really got rid of that skepticism was that we tried to put bluegrass music in general. We focused on the classic era, the classic period, the period in which the actual form, the basic form of bluegrass music crystallized back in the late 40s, early 50s. And we've stayed pretty much with that. And as far as history is concerned, the overview, give them some sort of a framework to think of themselves in. And I have to say right now, they all perform like, If anybody in that class wanted an A for participation and for college credit, they've got my vote. And they all I insisted on them all performing on stage with us. I mean, we thought we were going to have to grab a couple of them by the nostrils, you know, or something like that, and drag them up there. They all came willingly, and they all did a wonderful job. Well, we have tapes to prove that. At the beginning of the week, I wouldn't have dared mention that, and I wanted them to do something on stage. And by Wednesday, you know, we had one singing session where we all, and Jeff led the singing groups. Jeff did a great job with them, and I have to say that not because he's here, but because he did. By Wednesday, when we had our little singing group and everybody got to sing together, We took all the four different parts and put them in one section, you know, all together. And when they sang, it was all moved together. It was you could feel the hair. Well, anybody, not me. You could feel the hair and the goosebumps on your arm. It just felt so good to be in that group and hear them sing. And same thing when they played. Everybody just played together and I think. Personally, the thing on stage ought to be used inside some sort of demonstration for your class. I mean, they just did a wonderful job. And there was one lady in particular. As Melvin says, I ain't gonna mention her names, but she insisted on not going on stage. But when the time came, she was right there with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Right there with everybody else, and she did her part. And to me, that was the cap of the entire week. They did it. You know, they did it. And other than a few other things that, you know, that we did as far as giving them sort of a history or background or a few little sideshows here and there, you know, I think all of it together just made for a great week, as far as I was concerned.
Did you run into any snags that you didn't foresee, or?
The snags, as far as the class, the people, or the accommodations, or anything like that. No, I gained 20 pounds this week. I agree. The only snag I think that we ran into was there were many, many, many more guitar players than what would really have been ideal. Hmm. However, we were fortunate in the fact that everybody played guitar enough so that they could take time and work with everybody on an individual basis. And we made it a point from the very beginning in the class that individual instruction might be difficult to come by as we went, but we got around to everybody eventually, and saw to it. One boy in particular came up to do fiddle, and he couldn't quite pick up a tune that we were playing on the fiddle, and mandolin was tuned the same way, same noting patterns. And he'd flat pick some guitar some, so I said, Scott, we'll just work on the mandolin if you want. Played it on the mandolin, and then the next day, he was actually proficient enough on the mandolin that we had a little impromptu recording session over there with some of the members.